Hey everybody, welcome to episode 8, part 2, our interview with Christopher Holmes. Welcome to Street Level Floppies. As regular listeners know, our creator spotlight is the area of our show where we highlight creators that are working in the indie creator-owned area of comics as a way to introduce you to some new books and learn a bit about the creators. But one of our goals was always meant to segue to interviewing these actual creators. And today we're going to kick it off with our co-host, Christopher Holmes. So Christopher Holmes is in the house after an exciting week of Marvel events, including working on his first project. He will share a bit of his adventures at Comic-Con this week, what it's like to be a Marvel intern, and we're going to talk to him a bit about X-Men What If. So, hey, Chris, how's it going?
Yeah, hey guys, I'm glad to join in. I'm a little bit late. This was a crazy week. I met a lot of people. This was also my first Comic-Con ever, so I've never been to any comic book convention before. I went on Thursday. It was good. This week there was a lot of talent in the city, and as the listeners know, I interned at Marvel Comics, and so that, you know, there was tons of people just in the area that I kind of met. I was able to meet Donnie Cates, who's a really good guy. That was kind of really, really shocking to kind of meet him, because even though, like, I'm trying to work in comic books, I'm still a fanboy at heart. So, like, no matter what, you know, even if one day I become an editor somewhere or something like that, I'm still going to freak out over seeing someone, you know, who's writing a book. It's never going to change. Yeah, I met Jason Aaron, who I actually didn't realize it was him because I was on my phone on Facebook or something like that. And I didn't realize until I, like, looked back and I was like, well, that's the guy who writes Avengers. and it is really crazy. And Comic-Con was great, guys. I went to, my favorite part was the first panel that I actually tweeted about on our Twitter page, which if you haven't followed us on Twitter, you definitely should, at Street Level Floppies on Twitter. And it was making, it was called Making Comic Books the Marvel Way. And this was really interesting because I learned stuff that I necessarily have not learned yet at the internship. Some of it I did know, but some of it I didn't. Because even though I'm with the editorial department, I don't get, like, one-on-one time with the writers and artists. You know, I'm kind of working directly with the editors and assisting them. So it was really cool to, like, listen to, like, Jason Aaron and Ed McGuinness kind of talk about their process when working together. CB was there, the editor-in-chief of Marvel, as well as the talent director at Marvel, who was hosting the show, and a few other artists were there too, including a letterer, the guy who created the classic Venom logo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the classic one from the 90s that they still use to this day. He was there as well. And they kind of, like, kind of how, you know how when we review shows, we talk about, I mean, when we review books, we talk about every aspect of the book. So, you know, we talk about the lettering. Like, I think Fred has a guy who, like, if he letters that book, he's going to get it because he know he only works on good projects. So we talk about every aspect of the comic book. At least we try to when we review comics. And that's kind of what they were going through. So we saw, like, the pencils and the difference between the pencils when it has inks and when it has colors. And Jason Aaron kind of talked about kind of the back and forth between him and Ed McGuinness while they're working on Avengers and stuff like that. And also, I guess the most interesting thing that I had found out was that there are two different types of script writing when it comes to Marvel Comics. So there's kind of something they call the Marvel way, which is how kind of Stan Lee did it when he was working with Jack Kirby. And they have the kind of standard script writing. So for those who don't know what a comic book script looks like, usually what you'll get is the writer will put page one and he'll talk about kind of what's going to happen on his page or setting up the scene, right? Of what this page is going to say. Then it'll say panel one. And within panel one, it'll have caption, whatever he wants the caption to be, and whatever, you know, and then he breaks it down. Panel one, two, three, four. Then page two, panel one, two, three, four, five. Or page three, splash page. Such and such and such. Now, the Marvel way, which I didn't know this, and apparently it was the way that Stan Lee did it and a lot of early writers did it when they had such amazing artists, was they would do a lot more general of a script. So let's say, like, you are my artist, Andrew, and I'm the writer, I'm Stan Lee or whoever, and we're writing a Spider-Man book, like issue whatever, 10. I would give you a script that says, all right, this is issue 10. In issue 10, Spider-Man's going to be fighting Green Goblin. Green Goblin is going to be robbing a bank. Spider-Man is going to be with Aunt May while he's robbing the bank and he can't get to Green Goblin in time. So he has to find a way to get away from Aunt May and go stop Green Goblin. And I'll send that to you. And then it would be your job to kind of draw that all out in any which way you want. And that's kind of why, you know, Jack Kirby gets a lot of the credit he gets today, because, like, you know, it was really collaborative. It wasn't as specific. Yeah. So that was really interesting. They got into, like, kind of how to break in to the comic book industry. You know, if you, and for those listening, if you thinking about breaking into the comic book industry, a lot of it, from what I've learned, is just about initiative. And initiative. If you're a writer, write. Like, that's really the best advice I can give you, is just write. Write fan fiction. Write. I mean, look at what's her name? She just had an interview. Leia Williams, I believe, is her name. And she writes, she's writing the Emma Frost one shot. And she got discovered on Tumblr. You know, she was a writer. Oh, wow. She was a fan fiction writer on Tumblr. And she said this, you know, this is common knowledge. It was in an interview. She got discovered on Tumblr writing fan fiction. And it was getting so popular that she thought, I could probably write what I'm writing about with fan fiction and make real characters. And she wrote a book, and then Marvel contacted her, you know. So a lot of writers get their start just writing and getting discovered. A lot of the writers now at Marvel are not traditional comic book writers. They come from movie backgrounds or literature backgrounds or things like that. If you're an artist, I would suggest that you go to these comic book conventions, you meet some of the editors. Right now, if you plan on going to New York Comic Con tomorrow, Sunday, there's a Marvel booth and they accept portfolios. You can go and you wait in line. It's going to be a long line, but you can hand in your portfolio. And if you go to any other comic book conventions, you could kind of get portfolio reviews and just get your name out there. So the comic book industry is definitely, everyone breaks in a unique way. That was kind of what they stressed at the panel. And then if you're like me and you're looking to get into editorial, I kind of got the internship just based off of, like I said, initiative. If you really like comic books, go ahead and start a blog and go ahead or start a podcast with your friends or just write about it and stuff like that. And you can use that as a way to kind of break in. So when I had my interview there at Marvel, they were not necessarily interested in, like, work experience. You know, they wanted to know if I really liked comics. At least that's what I got from it while I was getting interviewed. So they would ask me about my blog. You know, they would ask me about the podcast, which actually wasn't a show yet. We were just working on it. This was, right? This was a little, I got hired I think a week before
Yeah, we were just doing those dark shows.
Mm-hmm, we were doing the practice shows. And, you know, I had mentioned, hey, yeah, like, you know, I work with, you know, these two cool guys. And we talk about indie books. It's not necessarily about Marvel, but, you know, stuff like that. And they just kind of got a sense that I really liked comics. And a few days later, they offered me the job. And so I really think it's a medium that it's a little bit difficult to break in. But if you're, like, really want to do it, you can do it. In any way, especially now when there's ways to kind of make your own book or ways to, you know, do things like that. It's a great time to be a comic book fan and want to get into the industry for sure.
I don't think sell yourself short. I don't think anyone can just make a podcast or just make a blog and Marvel's going to say, yeah, you know, you give yourself some credit too. There's some talent behind what you're doing and what you're writing and on your blog and all these things, and you know, you're getting your education. Yeah. I just want to throw that out there. I don't want to poo-poo anyone who thinks, but it's not just, okay, I got a podcast, Marvel's going to call me, you know?
No. Yeah. I'm not, like... Go ahead, Fred.
I was just going to say, like, don't sell yourself short at all, because, like, just think about everything that you do. Like, your normal weekend is 16-hour days at a job. You go to school. You're doing the podcast, reading extra books. They might not be the books that you love so much, but you're doing it. You're putting in work. You're even going into Marvel doing that stuff, man. You're busy. You're showing, like, dedication. Like, that's right there. You're showing your work ethic.
Yeah. I appreciate that, guys. I just, I really, do love comics. Working at Marvel right now is, like, increasing that love kind of exponentially. Because I am just, it's, just a wonderful medium. And I think everyone who listens to our show, you know, loves comics. And I know we all do. And it's just been great. Last week, when Brian Edward Hill kind of shared that picture, was kind of, you know, crazy, because I think what happened was Fred tagged him in the picture, right? You retweeted it or you commented?
Well, I mentioned that, you know, it wasn't like you were on the book, but to have your name next to Brian Edward Hill, yeah, and I tagged him on it, made it even more meaningful for, like, myself picking it up. Like, that's huge. The first time your name's in a book and it's linked to him.
Yeah. And he, like, he retweeted that and was like, he called, because I don't have my name on Twitter. I just actually put it after that because I wanted people to know, like, my real name. But he was kind of like, yeah, this was, you know, Panels and Hoodies. He kind of did this. I had no clue this was going to be in the book, but it was, like, great world building, and I'm really glad they added it. And I was like, whoa, like, you know, because, like, I kind of, like, when I write stuff, I'm kind of like, I love it when I first write it, and then 2 weeks later I read it and I'm like, I could have put this, I could have did that, you know. So I was kind of sitting on those two pages for a little while because I had to write this a little bit before the book came out, not too long ago. But so I was kind of reading it and coming in and checking it, but it was too late to change it. So it was no reason to be doing that, you know, but that's just kind of how it was. So for him to, like, put that was really interesting. You know, I spoke to Donnie Cates, and he actually was an intern at Marvel as well. He was an intern there a few years ago, you know, before anyone knew he was Donnie Cates, or before they knew he'd be, like, you know, this kind of rising star, you know. And he kind of just gave me some advice, told me that if I really love comics, that I was, you know, in the right place. And that really helped me as well. It was kind of a crazy week.
I can imagine. Well, it's funny. Go ahead, Fred.
I just wanted to, like, transfer and just say, let's talk about, like, your daily things that you do at Marvel. Like, what do you do on a daily when you're there?
Yeah. So, like, like I said, I'm with editorial. So Marvel is a very, like, big company. So there's, like, tons of different, like, departments and things of that nature. So I shred a lot of paper. But after that's done, after, you know, shredding the paper and things like that, I will just try to assist in any which way I can. So if that's writing, you know, helping someone with their shelves or helping filing with books, I'll do that. if it's writing recaps, you know, the little recapping on the first page of each comic book, then I'll try my hand at that. Or I'll get fun little projects like what I did in the What If X-Men book. What else have I gotten that's been really cool? You also get to, I've learned some stuff about just how, like, the process of making a comic book goes, like, where to put advertisements in a comic book and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Like, these are all things that are really important that I think, like, maybe if you're just, like, kind of just a reader, mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, you don't look at, like, I don't think I ever look at comic book advertisements, mm-hmm. you know, because the, yeah. like, when I'm reading Marvel Comics, like, on my pull list, I'm tired of seeing Strike Force, you know? So yeah. I just kind of go blind to it, and I don't even, like, take it in anymore. But it's actually pretty important where you put those things. So I've done that.
So if you're in editorial, do you actually edit sometimes? Like, do you have to, like, you know, proofread things or... check for spelling, or that's above you still, where they're not.
Well, proofreading is its own department.
Oh, okay.
They have specific people who proofread.
Okay.
The editor, even though I, like, when I first got an editorial, I kind of thought that's kind of the stuff they were doing, but the editors, so maybe I should start by explaining kind of what the editor's job is okay. for the listeners. So what an editor does is, let's say their new Spider-Man book comes out, right? Like, mm-hmm. and or any of new Batman book or anything, and we go, hey, we need a new book from this character, and I'm the editor, whatever. I will think, okay, who can write this book? Whose style do I think writes this particular book? Like, for instance, it was just announced at Comic-Con that Tom Taylor is writing Spider-Man, right? Which is almost perfect. I remember you said that yesterday. That's kind of like a perfect match. Yeah. So the editor for that book had to say, okay, I think Tom Taylor is perfect for this book, right? Mm-hmm. Then you call up Tom and you're like, hey, we need you to pitch a story, and let's go over it, you know? And then Tom will pitch a story, and then him and the editor will talk to kind of like, you know, make their ideas match. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, tweet, oh, well, this part of the story arc is really good, but I think maybe in the middle we can do something like this, you know, or something, and then just kind of discuss it. And then from there, after the pitch is ready and you know kind of what you're going to write, then you have to think, who's the best artist for this? You know, who would do good? And you kind of match up the artist, and the editor's job is really, really important. They keep the whole process together. They keep people on track. They're in constant communication with all members of this collaborative process. So editors work on multiple books. So
are they in charge of the continuity then, mostly, the editors?
They also have to, you know, keep in mind of the continuity.
Of like, so like other books, what's happening, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of times they will ask like interns to find references for them. You know, what was the last suit the Punisher was wearing? Or, you know, what, you know, where is the Punisher right now? And things like that, you know, little references just to keep things in check. They have to really be mindful. And like I said, they're working on tons of books.
Yeah.
So at one time you're maybe dealing with 15 to 20 to 25 creative different people wow. in a day. Just keeping things together. One of the cooler jobs that I got to do that also the editor does is, you know, bubble placements to kind of guide the letterer on where you might think the bubbles may, you know, play the best role. I learned how to do that, which was more difficult than I had anticipated.
Yeah.
Because it's more, you know, like we talk about with lettering, it's more than just putting a bubble on a page.
Yeah, bad,
you know,
lettering.
Those things could get clustered very bad, you know, and, you know, we read a lot of creator-owned, and I feel like lettering is one of those things when you're reading a creator-owned book. Either it's really good, or it's like,
or it suffers. They gotta get you're better. Right. You have to reread the page more than once because of the way they,
Yeah. So, you know, editors kind of keep the whole thing rolling. You know what I'm saying? They're in charge of finding new talent. They're in charge of And that's what I'm saying. And even CB said at the panel, he said, hey, look, our editors are on Twitter, interact with them if you're a writer, or, try to get to know them and things like that,
in
editors
a polite
are
way.
Really, really important. So, yeah. So I just work and I just try to back them up on that. And it's really a good job because not only do you get a sense of, okay, like when I first found out just the amount of care that goes into it, I had a new appreciation. And now one of my biggest pet peeves is when I go on Twitter and I see someone ranting about a book and it's like, oh, no one cared about this. This was sloppy and, no one put in the work and no one cared and everyone's just being lazy and they just want our money and this and that. And I'm kind of like, I don't say anything, but in my head, I'm just like, well, no, that's not true because I know at least the editors are paying close attention to every single detail that goes into a book. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's not to say that just because they're editors and everyone cares about the product that it's going to be a good book. Some books just don't turn out as well as you think. But there is a certain care to every aspect of making a comic book. And it really made me appreciate that a lot.
Now, is there any project at Marvel right now that you can talk about that you might be working on right now?
Fred crying.
I'm not working really on anything. I guess I do every day is something new. I do recaps for books. That's kind of the thing that I'm sure on. Like, that's one of the things that is really important to a book. And that really helps you with...
Plus, it helps your writing.
Can you mention...
It helps your writing, too, because you have to kind of think... When you're reading, a story, you have to think, okay, what was the most important parts? What does the reader absolutely need to know? Because you know what they say, every comic book is somebody's first comic book. So you have to, be sure that you're taking care of that recap page so that when someone reads it, they can just jump right in. Kind of like the beginning of a Star Wars movie. Star Wars movies are the best at recaps, because you don't have to watch any of the other Star Wars movies to know what's happening in that first scene, the way that they set it up. So
can you mention what books you recap then? Are you able to? Or
I've recapped a lot of stuff. I've recapped some of the X-Men Red, things like that, really. Yeah, nice. A lot of the X stuff I've recapped. I can't get too into it, but yeah.
going back to the What If book, I was thinking back to what you're saying about Brian Edward Hill. He said that it was all you. So you didn't receive any input from him. Did you just get the actual script or the actual comic and go off of that? Yeah. Or your direction on that?
Well, Chris Robinson, the editor, when he came up to me, he kind of gave me a little bit of a overview of what kind of the world was, what this What If world, he kind of gave me, a little bit here and there of what the world was and how people got their mutant powers in this world and things like that. Then I read the book, I read the book and, I just went from there. I only had a couple hours to do it.
But you got to see art and everything before you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I got to see art in the script and stuff like that. And I went from there to just kind of create that backstory.
Yeah. And what amazes me is they didn't hand you a couple of C-listers. They handed you an A+ and an A- to a B+ with maybe Jubilee. I guess you'd have to argue. Jubilee fans might be mad with me. But
Jubilee,
Rogue is definitely an A+.
Nah, Jubilee fans, Jubilee is definitely B. Jubilee is like a B-.
But she's big because she's in that cartoon. That's why I give her a lot more props, is because a lot of people grew up watching that X-Men animated cartoon.
That is true. That is true.
So
I just bought I bought some Jubilee artwork at Comic-Con.
So you got to play with
she's
some,
one of my
some nice toys.
It was really fun. It was so fun because not only was it just my first you know, comic book credit, writing credit. It was just, it was amazing. You know, I couldn't have been happier with that project. I was so glad that, you know, they trusted me with that. This has been, like, working there at Marvel has really kind of been a dream of mine for forever. And I'm really glad that I was able to overcome a lot of stuff to kind of get here, because this is a little known fact, but this is a little bit before I met you guys. This is like early in the summer, so maybe June. I had known Fred, and I think I was following both of you, but we weren't, mm-hmm. you know, talking as often as we do now. And I was going to leave school.
Oh, wow.
I was ready. So I knew that I wanted to become I wanted to get into book publishing. So I major in college. I major in media communications, and I minor in literature. And I knew I wanted to get into book publishing. And everywhere I looked, everyone was telling me that in order to kind of get into this field, you would have to get an internship somewhere. So this is the beginning of the summer now, going into my senior year of college, and I hadn't had an internship. So I'm a little bit, you know, freaking out a bit. And, you know, not to get too personal or whatever, but, you know, I shared this on my Twitter too. I do have a daughter. So whenever I'm doing something, whenever I'm pursuing something professionally, I'm always having that aspect in my mind of I have to do something that's self-fulfilling, but I also have to do something in which I can take care of my daughter, you know? Exactly. So this is the beginning of the summer. I had just gotten out of the semester. I had passed on my classes, and I'm just thinking, okay, I got to get some internships here, man, because this can't all be for nothing. So I'm sending out resumes and cover letters and everything to kind of try to get an internship. I mean, I think something like 60% of the world's book publishers are right here in New York City where I'm at. So if I was going to get a job in this is the place it would be, you know? And I'm sending them out and everyone's denying me. Everyone's like, nope, sorry. You don't have enough credentials. You don't have enough this, that. We can't offer you an interview. So I got kind of really down about maybe in June. And I was just thinking, you know what? Hey, you know, I kind of spent a lot of time here, but if I don't get an internship and things don't work out, it may not be in my best interest right now to try to finish. And so in my mind, I had thought, all right, I'm kind of going to be done with school. I'm going to pick up a second job and try to, like, you know, just live my life and maybe try to come back to it later on. And then my wife was kind of like, hey, you know, I think that even if you don't get an internship, why don't you go online, see who's writing a comic book, and see if you can help them and intern with them? Or if you see someone is writing a fan fiction or a story or anything, see if you can go and copy edit it for grammar mistakes. Mm-hmm. Just do anything, yeah. You know, and it still counts as experience. It kind of rejuvenated me. And I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to get back online. I'm going to use panels and hoodies to try and find and see if someone's writing something, and I'm going to help them with it. And I'm going to, you know, even if I got to write my own damn book and edit it myself, I'm going to do it, you know, and I'll put that on the resume that I edited a book, and it was my own book, and I don't care. Right.
Yeah.
And I saw that Marvel had an opening. They were doing applications for internships, and I sent it in. I sent in a cover letter and an application in my resume, and maybe like a couple weeks later, they was like, hey, we want to offer you an interview. And I was like, this is kind of wild, and there's no way. This was Marvel was the only publishing company out of, I think, 20-something that offered me an interview.
Wow. Wow.
Not a single other company even offered me to come in and talk to me. Everyone either ignored me or sent me an email saying they can't offer me an interview. So Marvel was the only one. So this is about August. So my next semester is coming up. So if I don't find an internship soon, I'm like, well, then, you know, I didn't find one. I'll have to find one next semester. And so when I'm going into the interview, I'm feeling all this pressure because I'm like, I kind of have to get it. This is the only option I got for an internship. And I went in and they called me 2 days later and was like, yeah, we're going to offer it to you. And it was just kind of crazy because, like I said, none of the other ones. I applied to like Scholastic and like Penguin and Simon and Schuster and all of these places, all of these book publishing companies, bookstores too. I applied to Barnes & Noble's internship. I applied to, there's a bookstore that's been here for forever called The Strand. I applied for an internship there. No one responded to me except Marvel Comics.
Wow. Yep. It was meant to be, man. It's like you should have trusted the comic books, man.
It was, I'm really grateful for the opportunity. And I'm hoping that it could lead to something more, you know, one day. And yeah.
Definitely.
It's really good. And this week was just, I was just in awe of everything, you know, meeting. I told Charles Soul about you, Andrew. I told them like, hey, one of my friends, he put me onto like your Daredevil book, and man, it's amazing. And he's like, oh yeah, thanks. And I was like, yeah, dude, like, yeah, I didn't have anything for him to sign that day because I forgot my Charles Soul books. I had a couple of them and I forgot them. And so when I went to line up at his table, I like kind of told the girl that was kind of working at the table, I'm like, hey, I don't have anything for him to sign, but I just want to talk to him. And she's like, yeah, sure, you can do that. And so like, I was like, yeah, like, you know, your Daredevil is amazing. Your Darth Vader is awesome. Wolverine is crazy. You know, like, dude, you're really good. And, you know, that was really nice. I spoke to Ed McGuinness. He told me that I look too serious. to kind of like loosen up that I have like too serious a demeanor. yeah, because he was, I guess he had saw me in the panel earlier that day. He was at the panel, and then when I went to the table, he signed my Avengers for me, and then he was like, yeah, I think I saw you. You're a really serious dude, huh? I was like, yeah, no, I was just, you know, I just told him I was listening really intently. You know, focused. I didn't want to, yeah, I was just focused. Yeah, so it's been that kind of week. And comics are great, man. I love them. Absolutely. When I first started reading comics, it wasn't even a comic. It was encyclopedias. Marvel used to put out these really huge encyclopedias, and I just would read them from front to back. You remember those, Fred?
Yeah, my sons, they like to read them, and they can tell me everything about certain characters, especially like Batman or stuff. Like, I was telling Andrew last night, Joey, my middle son, he knows so much stuff about Batman. I'm like, dude, he'll tell me, he'll be like, Dad, stop reading Superman, and you need to get on that Batman.
Smart kid.
But speaking about Batman, you have like a new appreciation, don't you?
Okay, yeah. So for those who don't know, I was the only one in the group in the beginning that didn't read much DC. And just every week, every week before the podcast starts, before we record, we just talk for a little bit before the show starts. And every week, I just kept hearing more and more shit happening to Batman. I was like, wait, what? What's going on? You know, I gotta kind of read this stuff. And so I'm hooked now, man. Like, this stuff with Nightwing. And I went back to read the issue you had mentioned with Damian and Jason kind of teaming up. I read that stuff, and It's a lot, man. I feel bad for Bruce for the first time. Yeah. I never felt bad for him, but now I do.
And Catwoman, man, she broke his heart. If you read her book, she's a mess too. She can't, like, now, she just lays in bed and gets drunk or stuff, and just,
yeah,
she's a mess.
Now the cover, I think, for one of the solicitations for Batman coming up, like, the cover is like they're in bed together, so I'm guessing they get back.
I doubt it. I bet you it's some kind of flashback, because I doubt it. Yeah, from what...
Did you see that cover?
No, I haven't seen it. I need to look for it, but I doubt it, because she's somewhere else completely. I don't even know if she's in the United States anymore. Trying to think.
And what's going on with Barbara right now?
There's a new writer on hers, and I have not read her last book. It wasn't this week, it was the week before, but I'm behind on that. The only thing I've seen really with her is she was really upset, of course, in the Grayson book, in the Nightwing book. You know, that hurt. She's the one that Batman sent to go check on him, and oof, yeah.
And he doesn't remember her.
He doesn't remember her, not in that way. You know, not at all. Yeah. She's just like, you're just some person who says you know me. Oof. Because like the issues before, they went on a little romantic, you know, getaway. I guess they used the same place that was booked for Batman, for Bruce and Selina for their wedding. Since it was just going to go to waste, Nightwing and her used it. And yeah, they had all this romantic talking about how important they were to each other. And then now it goes to like, I don't even know who you are. Man, what a swing.
Oh, man. What about Starfire? Are they showing the Titans team?
You know what? No, I don't think Titans has come out yet since this has happened. That's a good point, because we're going to see Kyle Rayner take over that team. So I'm sure they're going to talk about it, because I've seen the solicit for the cover, and Rayner's there instead of Nightwing.
And then on top of that, I don't think Jason knows about Roy. Jason doesn't know about Roy yet.
Roy doesn't know about Dick. He doesn't. Yeah, it's all of them. It's Wally. I mean, the whole – that's going to really hit Jason hard. I'm curious to see how Damian's going to deal with the fact, because – Dick Grayson is more Damien's father sometimes than Bruce's, you know?
Yeah, back from that Grant Morrison run, right?
They just have a really good relationship, so yeah. Yeah.
I'm all for it, man. That's some drama right there. You know, that's really good. I've been reading a lot of stuff, you know, from... Have you gotten around to reading Return of Wolverine?
No, we were making jokes about that. No, it's at the top of the pile, but no, I read all the books for this week, and I didn't get to it.
Nah, I
have a pile of Marvel books. That's what I'm behind on is Marvel all the way. Because I let you guys kind of cover the Marvel, especially you, Chris, when we do the show. So it's like, okay, I can put that off.
Yeah, but now it's
gotten so insane. I need to attack that pile. Well, do you have any more questions for Chris, Fred, or should we?
I'm trying to think, but I can't think of anything. I mean, he did speak a lot. Like, man, I learned a lot from just all the things that he said just here. I'm like, wow, it's interesting. Like, I have a new appreciation for editing. It's kind of like, it sounds like sometimes when we're on Twitter or something, we kind of fan cast a book and we're like, oh, this is the team we do. I had no idea that they did that. So
I definitely think that whenever I talk about a book, I'm gonna try to even include them. A lot of them have Twitters, they're on the Twitter scene. And I think all editors, not just the Marvel editors, but all editors would, you know, appreciate that. When I first got there, there's a quote, I guess, that goes around with editors. It's like, editors don't get any of the credit, but get all of the blame, you know. So, like, if something goes bad in a comic, it's always, well, no one was editing this. No one thought to tell the writer, you know, not to put this in there. You know, how did this get through? You know, but when things go really, really good, the editors don't kind of get the credit for the work that they contribute. And they really do contribute a lot. They keep the whole thing binded together. A lot of times, if you see a writer, like kind of Tom Taylor, when he announced his Spider-Man book, he shouted out the editors, you know, he shouted out Nick Lowe on there and stuff like that on his Twitter page. And it's because they're the ones who hit up the writers. They call the writers like, hey, do you want to do a book? Do you want to, you know, do this or that? You know, so they definitely deserve a lot of credit. Yeah.
I don't think I include them. I rarely include them when we go over the creative team before the books. And I probably need to rectify that. Because sometimes they're not obvious in the book, and some so you have to really like really do some research, you know.
Mm-hmm. Some of the creator-owned books, the editor is not even credited, really.
But some are. Some of them. So I need to be more aware.
Yeah.
Especially on the bigger, when it's like something done by like say Robert Kirkman or some of these bigger guys. Yeah, they definitely have an editor. Oh, cool. Okay. Well,
and then can I ask you guys one question before we close out? I'm not sure if you guys covered this in the news. You probably did. But what did you guys think of Brian Michael Bendis' new DC imprint? Did you guys cover that?
We didn't necessarily cover that, but Fred's still very upset with what he's doing to Superman. So he wants him to just stick to Murder, Inc.
It's funny because last night we spoke about it and we mentioned it after we recorded, and I was like, man, I'm, you know, I seen it, and I was like, the first instance I thought was, oh, more Superman family, you know, from the family, and I'm like, man, can't he just go to more street level characters? Yeah.
But this is going to be what, a teenage based imprint, right? All the teenage heroes.
Which could work, because if you think a little bit about Bendis, Miles, Riri, he does seem to do a decent job with young characters. So I'll look at it. I'll check it out.
It just depends on if the story's going to be you know, presented in more of a like teenage, you know, way, or is it going to be adult story?
I'm going to think teenage at least. We'll see. I mean, he has too much dialogue to get too young. I don't know.
I think to me it feels like they're putting it out because that way it kind of gets you interested in the Young Justice, the new cartoon coming out. Possible.
Yeah. I mean, Marvel did it with Marvel Rising. I mean,
kind of right. Just like Marvel just announced that, you know, Kelly Thompson's going to be writing Captain Marvel, of course. You know, the movie's going to be coming up, so who better to start making the push?
DC has not had the best track record when it comes to these teenage heroes, you know, since maybe the New 52. Like, Blue Beetle got canceled, Static got canceled. You know, a lot of their teenage heroes don't quite...
Super Sons got canceled. 52. I mean, it's... Uh-huh. I mean, they're doing this little extended, like, adventure, but when that's done, it's over. Yeah.
And then when Rebirth first started, they had Teen Titans, and then like the creative team was all messed up after like the first couple issues, and they needed a new artist and new writer, and so maybe this will...
Maybe. My hope for DC on the young is, like I told you, those graphic novels that are coming out, where they're not comic book writers. They've pulled in a lot of young adult novelists to do the writing, and they've paired them up with some pretty cool artists. Like, there's a Teen Titans one, there's a Catwoman one, a Harley one, a Mara one, and they're geared for kids.
Yeah.
There's like a teenage line and there's a kids line, but they look really good and the art's pretty awesome from what I've seen from some of these. So, because I guess I'm learning more that there's this whole world of graphic novels that have nothing to do with what I read, and they sell more than my comics do. Like, I guess
graphics,
for kids that like Scholastic has, that stuff I've never heard of, that just like
they're killing it.
Exactly, because the Scholastic book fairs, like I find at my kid's school, my son has picked up a lot of like the, it's kind of like Super Sons in a way that DC's made, and he has like three or four of them, and he'll read them like within like one night, just smash the whole book. It'll be like, oh, that was good. I'm like, whoa, it must have been. Because he doesn't really that.
Yeah, there's money to be made, so you can't fault. I see. That's why people, when they complain, you've got to see what Marvel and DC are trying to do. They're trying to expand. There's not enough of us old guys who read comics to keep the lights on, you know? You have to go get some more, a new audience. Get these kids, you know, right?
I read comics with my daughter. She doesn't really steal for the dialogue, so I kind of have to narrate the pictures. And we go and we kind of identify the characters. So like Spider-Man, she's Spider-Man, and Hulk, and she wants to be the Incredible Hulk for Halloween. Nice. She sees the Hulk costume and she starts banging her chest and yelling like, ah!
Very cool. Yes.
Yeah. When, definitely. When she sees Venom, she calls him
Uh-oh.
So that's Venom's name. She won't call him Venom. She just calls him Uh-oh.
So she's not giving it a good review for Rotten Tomatoes then. She's just Uh-oh.
Yeah, she she thinks he looks scary. Yeah. She wants nothing to do with Venom. Gotcha.
Crazy. Very cool. Well, all right. I think we should wrap this up. We're going to have a long super show, but that's cool. Very cool. Maybe we'll put it in two parts. We'll see what happens. Like, download part one, part two. But once again, I want to thank everyone who listens to us, downloads our show, checks us out on Twitter, on iTunes, Libsyn, Stitcher, Spotify. We found out Spotify is more popular than we thought. YouTube. yeah, please check us out. Leave a comment if you like what you hear. Give us a rating. Give us lots of stars. It really helps. Fred, do you have anything to add?
No. I can't think of anything.
And Chris, once again, congratulations on all of this. You want to take us out here?
Just like...
Uh-oh.
How does it go?
I can't do it either.
Go ahead, Fred.
Just like the streets we call our home, show some love for the creator-owned.